Time for our network analyst segment here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And for the, I think it's the fourth time, he will be assigned to a Browns game. And I know this guy has become pretty close to this football team and enjoys this opportunity. For CBS, Steve Tasker, he'll be paired with Bill McAtee on Sunday in Arizona. Steve, welcome once again to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Vic. It's good to be here.
Well, so let's talk about this Browns team. A lot of news coming out of Berea this week, mostly about something other than football, Steve, and that is the concussion that was suffered by Colt McCoy on the hit by James Harrison. Two big elements to this. One, of course, James Harrison getting suspended for one game by the league. That was a big story. But also the story about McCoy and the concussion and how the Browns handled this and the investigation that the league and the NFL Players Association conducted this week, spending a couple of weeks in Berea. Mike Holmgren addressing that yesterday. What's your take as someone who not only close to this league as an analyst, but someone who played in this league, and I know having covered you when you played for the Bills, experienced your share of concussions?
Yeah, I mean, there was a confluence of events, things that went wrong or things that happened that made it evident that the protocols that they have to follow are going to have to be changed and tweaked a little bit. I mean, there's no question it was a devastating hit, no question. But we've all seen guys on the football field get up from hits like that and shake it off and be okay, no problem. And there's no question it was a sick hit, and it was penalized, and rightfully so. And we can discuss, you know, James Harrison's disciplinary actions taken against him at another time. This is about, you know, the result of Colt McCoy going back in the game. So McCoy gets up, they come out to attend to him, and McCoy is telling, man, it's my hand. Well, when the player says, listen, it's my hand, and when the player starts giving you feedback about what his problem is, the doctors are obviously going to check that out, and that's what happened. And the doctors start looking at the kid's hand, and when he says, okay, I think it's going to be all right, that kind of thing, well, it takes a pretty lucid and coherent individual to give him the kind of feedback they were looking for. And when you don't get any, when you get that kind of feedback, there's no reason for them to look at something that doesn't seem to be a problem. So they didn't administer the concussion test for that reason. Then, you know, and to pull Pat Shurmur, as I've heard some people criticize Pat Shurmur and say, hey, it's his fault, Colt McCoy went back in. That's ludicrous in my explanation. That the people who ask that question have no idea how an NFL sideline works. I mean, Pat Shurmur's got four trainers, three doctors on the sidelines, all of which are qualified to give a concussion exam, a concussion test. The only way Pat Shurmur could be at fault in this is if he walked over and pushed the doctors away and said, I don't care what you say, I'm putting him back in. That's
right.
Crazy.
Right.
I mean, he didn't
right.
do that.
Right.
He's got a game going on. I mean, he's looking at the side at the field, he's calling offensive plays. Seneca Wallace is in the game. They're in the last minutes of a tight football game. And if somebody comes over and tells him, hey, listen, your starting quarterback is okay, we've checked him out, he's good to go, that's it. I mean, that's the end of the conversation and the end of consideration for Pat Shurmur. The quarterback goes back in if he wants him to. So to put Pat Shurmur, throw him under the bus, or in any way, shape, or form, say he had something to do with the breakdown of that system is just flat stupid.
All right. Now, Steve, with regard to that whole situation, it's been really a constant story since a week ago today, a full week of attention on, and of course, not just locally in Cleveland or Northeast Ohio, but throughout the country, ESPN, NFL Network. How big of a distraction do you think that could be to a football team that, A, is out of the playoff picture and now preparing for a game where these last three games, where it's about pride, it's about, you know, playing for something other than that playoff spot, finding motivation elsewhere, and then you have this whole sideshow kind of going on simultaneous to that?
I don't think it'll be too much of a distraction for the players, the Browns themselves, because they're in it. I mean, they know what happened, and they know better than all of us because we have to come to them and ask, you know, what they saw and what they heard. And certainly Colt McCoy's not keeping any secrets from the players on the sidelines. And the players are probably, at this point, knowing Colt's going to be fine, are teasing him about saying, it was my hand. It was my hand, not my head. And you know, so the players and coaches, they understand injuries are a part of the game. They're around it every week, depending on who it is. If some player or other is hurt, they know how to handle it, and the distractions are nothing. And And plus the players probably understand the protocols that and all the things that happen in order to let the symptoms of a concussion slip by.
Right.
Particularly when and it happens in my career that I got a concussion in a game and the symptoms didn't display themselves until 15-20 minutes later. I was actually back in the game before the symptoms actually started to take effect. And so in a place where the doctors had no reason, given their examination, to think that a concussion had been sustained, even though it was a bad hit, I'll admit that, and it was penalized,
mm-hmm.
But they're getting lucid, coherent feedback from the player about a different injury. That's the injury they're examining. So
right.
That's one of the reasons why the doctors were misled about what was wrong with Cole, plus the fact, like I just said, sometimes there are no symptoms of a concussion.
Right.
Evident to the player or the doctors, even if they did administer the test. So it's pretty normal that Colt McCoy then later went back in the game and then later, a few minutes later, 15, 20 minutes later, displayed those symptoms. Another thing, too. I'm not a doctor, but those symptoms were delayed because there's no way Colt McCoy could have called an NFL play in an NFL huddle and gotten it out if he was showing any signs of a concussion, because it's so complicated. You have to understand what you're told over the radio and then relay it to your team and understand the play itself to get that done. That precludes any concussion symptoms at all. In my mind,
right?
Because when you have a concussion, you can't even understand a simple yes or no question, let alone listen to a play being called in your ear in your helmet and then relaying that to your team, calling a snap count, and then have none of those 11 guys who have been with you morning, noon, and night in 150,000 huddles and them not notice anything's wrong.
Right.
Yeah. That would be impossible for a doctor to ask you a couple simple questions and get any kind of symptoms. Those symptoms of Colt McCoy did not show up in any way, shape, or form until it was too late.
Steve Tasker, our guest, CBS NFL analyst. He will be on the call of Sunday's game with Bill McAtee in Arizona. Steve, as you look at this Browns team that played a week ago tonight against Pittsburgh, stout defensive effort, struggled offensively, and you now see, of course, with Seneca Wallace taking the first team snaps in place of Colt McCoy, on the assumption he's out there Sunday instead of Colt, that, you know, what sort of impact do you see, A, on the Browns offense, and B, do you see a carryover from how well they played defensively, where they had the goal line stand, the big interception, really a strong performance all the way around defensively?
Yeah, they did, and I think that'll carry over. I think that's something that they can start thinking about becoming a hallmark of their team. We've seen them make these defensive stands for the past month. I mean, they've been really tremendous in goal line and short yardage situations. In San Francisco, in Baltimore, in Cincinnati. I mean, they've done it all three games and consistently. So, I think it's something that the club will take pride in. The defensive players will take pride in. And I think it will carry over a little bit. Now, offensively, you know, you're looking at a different thing. This defense of the Arizona Cardinals, the light switches come on for them. They struggled early on in a six-game slide because their new defensive coordinator, who came over from Pittsburgh, incidentally, you know, has installed a new defense, and they didn't know exactly what they were doing in that defense. And it took a long time for them to get that. But the light has gone on in the last 6 weeks, and they have really come on. Ray Horton from Pittsburgh came over, and this defense is playing very well. So it's going to be up to the Browns' offense to solve it.
And speaking of what the defense also has to solve on the Browns' side is this Cardinal offense that has Larry Fitzgerald, Beanie Wells playing some of his best football. There are weapons, early Doucette, and no matter who's at quarterback for the Cardinals, it's that potential for explosiveness is always there.
Absolutely, and don't know if Cobb's going to be back in the lineup because he as well suffered a concussion last week. And it'll be interesting to see whether he gets back in the lineup. Now, it looks like he may get there. I don't think his concussion was as to the nature that Colt McCoy's was, but I don't know. Nobody knows that just yet. If John Skelton does go in, Skelton is a guy who's been very poised and he's got a big arm and looked pretty good and actually led them to a victory. Now, remember, Kevin Cobb left their last game last week in the third play of the football game.
Right.
And came in and led them to a victory this last week. So he can get it done. And with Beanie Wells playing the way he has, you know, and all the weapons, they got Todd Heap at tight end, Andre Roberts across from Larry Fitzgerald, early Doucette. You named it. They've got some guys.
So right, right.
It'll be an interesting play, and I think they have to do it up front. I think if you're going to do it, you have to get some pressure on the quarterback, whoever it is. And if you can do that, things will change in your favor.
Steve, great stuff as always. Look forward to seeing you in Arizona on Sunday. We thank you so much.
All right, Vic, thanks.
He is Steve Tasker from CBS Sports, of course, former NFL standout, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.